All right. Well, finally today, we're going to talk about the imminent nursing strike at Brigham and Women's Hospital. The Massachusetts Nurses Association says its members will stage a one-day strike next Monday if the hospital and the union cannot come to an agreement on a new contract. It would be the first strike in 30 years by nurses in a Boston hospital. And if the strike takes place, the hospital says it already has contracted with an outside agency to supply about 700 replacement nurses for 5 days, meaning the hospital would be locking out the striking nurses for 4 additional days to ensure continuity of care. Well, we're going to hear from both sides of this issue about what they're thinking now, and we're going to begin with the nurses' union. Jim McCarthy is a nurse in the recovery unit at Brigham and Women's Hospital. He's also a member of the nurses' union bargaining committee, and he joins us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, Megan. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So it seems as if the nurses' union is basically asking for 3 main things regarding wages, benefits, and staffing at Brigham and Women's Hospital. So let's just dive into the wages question,
sure.
Because it seems as if the Brigham and Women's already has a step-up feature of roughly 5% per year for nurses, or nurses at the top of the pay scale. And
well, if I can interject.
Yeah, please.
Well, basically what that is the step program has been set through the contract, and that was decided and negotiated eons ago,
yeah,
when the contracts were first done. Basically, it's step program. So each year a nurse is at the hospital on their anniversary, they increase by steps up to 18 years. So each year there'll be a 5% increase for those nurses itself. But then at the 18th year, then that stops basically. So I know, for example, I have someone who I work with closely in the recovery unit myself, and she's been there for 29 years. So for 11 years, she hasn't gotten any increase at all.
It
plateaus after 18 years.
And so
correct.
what is the union then asking for?
Well, we're asking for basically a fair increase across the board. For it's actually less than the cost of living increase itself for all the nurses. And then we would like to get a top step. So we'd like to get a 19 step for those nurses who haven't really got anything for a number of years.
Okay, and why isn't? But I guess beyond the plateau question, why isn't the rest of the step plan? I mean, adequate? Because I was looking at the fact that last year the hospital announced that all non-unionized staff were going to get an average 2% raise.
Correct. Right. That's what we're talking about.
But I thought the nurses were contracted for 5% every year.
Well, not every year, only up to the 18 years itself. So at that point, like I said, most of us will get an increase, on our anniversary itself. But again, once you hit that 18th year, that increase stops.
Okay.
But again, on top of that, you also have, we are looking for, even for those people who, like myself, I'm still in that step system myself. I've only been with the hospital for 11 years. And we're looking for an increase for those people as well, too, because the cost of living has gone up as well. And in addition to that, you have health insurance going up, as well as parking at the hospital and other rudimentary costs that affect everyone every day.
Well, let me ask you, though. I mean, so Brigham and Women's Hospital is one of the premier and largest hospitals in Massachusetts. It had a revenue of $3.3 billion in fiscal year 2015, but it also actually, at the end of last year, faced a $53 million shortfall for a bunch of different reasons. But I was looking at the numbers from last year, and hospital administration said that costs overall for the hospital were rising at about 3-4%, but revenues were only rising at 1%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess the question is, what do you make of the argument that the hospital can't pay for what the nurses' union is asking for?
I think that's a facetious argument, because if you look at just the last quarter, they made $150 million in revenue itself for the hospital itself. And what we're asking, this is a nonprofit hospital, and in addition to that, you're controlled by Partners, which is a billion-dollar corporation. And what we're asking for is take those profits that you're making and put it back into the infrastructure itself, put it back into the hospital, and the nurses are part of the hospital. Again, this is a nonprofit corporation or nonprofit hospital. We feel that for those revenues, they should be put back into it. We're not saying that if it was hard times and the hospital wasn't making the money they should be, then we would totally understand that. But at this time, the profits are there, and we feel that that's justifiable.
So talk to me briefly about what the nurses' union is looking for regarding staffing, because that seems to be another major sticking point.
It's a huge issue. Right now, we have 3,300 nurses, and patient safety is our top priority, top concern. And in regard to that, right now, We have something called an unsafe staffing form. So when we have situations where a floor is not properly staffed, you have high critical patients that you're taking care of and they can't be cared for correctly, we pass off unsafe staffing forms to the management saying, look, this is an issue, this is a problem. They have stacks and stacks of those each month that are sent off to the management. In addition to that, we have issues with staffing on various floors. We have the sickest of the sickest patients in this area. I mean, we're a top hospital, and again, we get the patients that other hospitals can't take. And surgical patients, for instance, our thoracic unit, it's one of the best in the country and the world. And again, we're taking care of patients that other hospitals couldn't take care of.
So you're saying the staffing ratios should be different? Or?
Well, no. What we're asking for is to basically go back to the staffing ratios we had previously. If you see after like 2009, 2010, staffing ratios seem to be have changed. And we're also looking at the fact that with issues, for instance, let me get back to the thoracic unit. Thoracic unit is a very specialized unit. We take care of thoracic patients, people suffering from mesothelioma, cancer. It's a very highly specialized area. And to care for these patients, you have to have special skills, which, it takes a lot of training and everything else. I was actually on that unit myself. I can speak of experience from that. And the training needed for that is, it's cumbersome, but it's basically something that we do and, we're passionate about as well. So
I'm seeing here a statement from the Massachusetts Hospital Association from a little earlier this month, and they say they do not comment on particular labor disputes, but in the statement they also added that, quote, there is no way that predetermined formulistic nurse staffing plans can achieve the best patient-focused care, and that such a singular focus actually runs counter to the collaborative, innovative, and integrated care models that provide the best patient care.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we're asking for is basically we're asking with the nurses, we're in the front lines. We're there. We're able to say, this is what we need to care for these patients. They can come up with all the rules and formulas they want to look at. But for us ourselves, we can say, look, we know we're there. We're in the trenches. We're not up in an office, looking down and looking at numbers. There is an axiom that is known for nursing school that we've always ingrained in all of us. Basically, you want to look at the patient, not the numbers. Unfortunately, it seems with Partners Corporation, they want to look at basically the numbers, not the patient itself. Okay. So, and that's, like I said, that's the problem. We're there, we're on the front lines, we see these patients, and we know what we need to do to care for them properly.
Well, another set of numbers I'm seeing is that the average registered nurse at Brigham and Women's Hospital currently makes $106,000 a year, whereas the average in the rest of Massachusetts is roughly $89,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could dig into the numbers forever, but I just have one last question for you. So if this dispute continues on until next Monday, the nurses' union has planned a one-day walkout, and as we mentioned, it could end up being a total of 5 days that other nurses would have to be brought in.
Yeah.
The union certainly must have some concerns about the impact on patient care that the strike could have.
Of course. No, it would be devastating for the hospital. You can't have people coming in who don't know anything about the hospital, who don't know our patient population, people who are coming in who we call them mercenary nurses. They're basically coming in, they're hired guns, coming in, basically all they're there for is profit. We're there because we're passionate. We want to be there for our patients. We want to be making sure we're taking care of our patients correctly. These people are coming in, and all they're there for is solely for the money. We're only asking for a one-day strike. The hospital is locking us out for 5 days. We want to return to work after that one-day strike. The hospital is not going to let us. Again, we are, like I said, we're willing to strike, but we're also willing to go back and continue in negotiations. We still have a few more days left. We're still waiting to hear back from the hospital. The hospital walked out on Monday.
You've met 20 times already.
21 times.
21 times.
I've been at every one of these ones, believe me. Not the higher executives. They haven't been there. Dr. Ron Walls and Betsy Nabel have not been there at all. I've been there every single time. I know what's going on with those negotiations. I can tell you, it's tiring, and also the last few ones have been very contentious. But the last meeting we had, the hospital walked out. At that point, we're waiting to hear back to say, we're willing to go back to the table. But again.
Well, Jim McCarthy is a nurse in the recovery unit at Brigham and Women's Hospital. He's also a member of the union's bargaining committee. Thank you very much,
You're
Jim.
Welcome. Thank you. Thanks, Megan.
All right. Well, Jim mentioned Dr. Walls. That's Dr. Ron Walls. He's the executive vice president and chief operating officer at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and he joins us now on the line. Dr. Walls, welcome to you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, I actually just want to ask you quickly to respond to a quote that we saw in the Boston Globe a little earlier, that the fact that the conversation or the negotiation has reached such an impasse that a strike could be imminent, it's pretty disturbing because we haven't had one in Boston in 30 years. And Gary Chason, he's the professor of industrial relations at Clark University, he says it's very rare for healthcare workers to go on strike. They only go on strike if they feel tremendously neglected. It's a call for help. And I wonder what Brigham and Women's response is to that.
Well, we started this negotiation in October, and as you mentioned, we've had more than 20 full-day sessions now. We certainly don't want a strike, have never wanted a strike, and we've worked systematically through the negotiations with the union to be sure that we are putting fair and equitable packages on the table that we think are good for all of our nurses. Look, we really value our nurses. We pay our nurses, I think you pointed this out earlier, at the highest possible pay scale. And we are proud of our nursing staff, and I'm an emergency physician. I worked very closely with them side by side. But the reality is that in order to negotiate to a settlement and an agreement, both sides have to really negotiate. And contrary to what Jim mentioned earlier, on last Friday night when we had negotiated all day, we offered to stay all night and also to negotiate on Saturday, and the union didn't wish to do that. We've made it clear to the mediator that we want to get back to the table. And in fact, the mediator has asked us back to the table on Friday, and we've accepted. We're looking forward to that. And we want to do everything we can to avert a strike, but at the same time, we have to be ready for a strike.
So, Dr. Wells, let me ask you, very frequently in these kinds of labor disputes, there is a question of a sense of value and differences between administration and the labor and in that value. And I think Jim was getting to that perhaps a little bit when he pointed out that the hospital's most senior, most veteran nurses who've been there, you know, for 18 years face a plateau in their salaries, and maybe the hospital is communicating that those people who are most veteran aren't valued as much as they could or should be. Your response to that?
Yes, our senior nurses are among our most valued nurses because they're the most experienced, and we've worked with them for a long time. They know everything so well. It's not true to say, though, that once people get off the steps, they have no further increases, because the union has negotiated additional steps and further increases for those people who had cleared that 5% step bracket. And over the last 10 years, that group of people has actually had 26% increase in their income through negotiated contracts. So to say they haven't had an increase for the last 10 or 11 years is just not true.
Hmm. Well, what about this question of staffing? Because Brigham and Women's Hospital has stated that the staffing in its step-down units is comparable or better than the industry standard. But a 2014 bit of research from Boston College that we looked at found that the average number of patients cared by registered nurses on the step-down units at Brigham and Women's was higher than at Beth Israel, UMass Medical Center, Metro West Medical Center, etc.
Well, we absolutely disagree that staffing is an issue, that we have any problem with staffing ratios or proper coverage. And we would be happy to have our staffing levels compared against any applicable benchmarks. In fact, they do get compared to those benchmarks. The reason you get differences between organizations is that step-down patients are defined differently in different organizations. So it depends on what the definition of the patient is. And also, I think Jim said it very well, it's important to consider the patient, him or herself, and what kind of patient is it really. And we're very proud of our staffing levels, and we would happily compare them to any other hospital like ours.
Hmm. And what about Jim's assertion that the hospital can afford financially to meet the demands of the nurses' union?
Well, we're a not-for-profit, so all of the margin, you call it sort of profit, you'd call it, that we make in partners, both at the Brigham and Mass General, go back in to fund our research, our buildings. We're building a research building here. We're looking to build a new patient care area at Mass General. So all of the profits of the organization are reinvested. And in addition, when we make a margin here at Brigham and Women's Hospital, and we certainly didn't make remotely near $150 million in the last quarter, I don't know where that came from, but when we make a margin here, most of our margin and Mass General's margin, it's all combined into partners, and almost half of it goes out to fund the parts of our system that can't fund themselves. Mental health, North Shore Medical Center, loses tens of millions of dollars every year, and we inject money into that center to keep it going, to keep the nurses there, the doctors there, to keep the care there. So the partner system reinvests all of its profits, some of them into the system itself to keep it operating, those parts that don't operate well on their own, and the rest of it into research and buildings for patient care and so forth. There is no profit.
Dr. Walls, we just have a few seconds to go, and based on what I've heard from both of you gentlemen today, it sounds like a strike is fairly imminent. Do you have any reason for optimism?
We're happy to go back to the negotiating table on Friday. We have never wanted a strike, but we have to get to a point where both we and the union understand that with all of the pressure we have on us in healthcare now to be fiscally responsible, we have to act together in a fiscally responsible way and create a framework that works.
Ron Walls is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Walls, thank you very much.
And thank you so much.
We heard a little earlier from Jim McCarthy. He spoke on behalf of the Brigham and Women's Hospital Nursing Union as well. We'll keep following the story as it develops. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. That's it for today. This is Radio Boston.